Okay, let's pray together. Father, thanks for a fun day. Thanks for the opportunity to be together tonight. And we ask in our time together that you will just help us to receive whatever we need. In Christ's name, amen. Okay, how many of you know what a GPS is? How many of you have a GPS? Okay, we're going to talk about GPSs tonight. Okay, GPS is a wonderful thing. It is the only female voice that a man will take directions from in a car. It's just, it's incredible. You know, that we have this lady and she says, turn left, and I do it. Virginia says it, I don't respond quite the same way. So it is pretty cool, GPSs. There are three types of GPSs I want us to consider tonight. But first, I want you to know that if you are going to use a GPS, three things need to be true. One is you need to have a reliable GPS. Two is you need to have a good destination. And three is you need to follow the GPS. We were visiting Julie, our daughter, in San Marcos last year. And it was the first time I had been there. And Virginia was saying how great it was because she was right next to a Costco. And I'm a Costco addict, and so we were at Costco and eating the samples for lunch. I take my family there regularly, and so we had just finished lunch, and she said, this is great. We're really close to Julie, and so I was driving, punched it in, and we're driving. She said, it's only about 5 minutes from Julie's house. We've been driving probably 10 minutes, a little more, just having a chat, and all of a sudden, Virginia said, this does not look familiar. And I go, wow, wonder what is, and I had punched in home. However, I had brought our GPS from Massachusetts out, so we were on our way to Massachusetts. So always want to make sure you punch in a good direction on the end. Well, let's look at, first, I want us to think about destination, and then we'll work our way back. So I want you to put in your destination in your spiritual GPS. Three questions, and this is where I want you to write in. Where do you want to spend eternity? How do you want to be remembered? And who on earth do you want to be faithful to? Now, let me help you with the first one. Where do you want to spend eternity? There are two choices here. So just so you're not wondering, you either put heaven or hell. There's no third option in this. So that's it, heaven or hell. So I've already given you, helped you out in the first. Then write in. How do you want to be remembered if you are being eulogized at your funeral or if somebody's writing something on your tombstone? What would you want it to be? And then who on earth do you want to be faithful to? I'll give you a minute to do that. Okay, is anybody under 21 willing to read your destination statement, those three statements? Anybody under 21 willing to do that? Yes, okay, stand up and read it to us. Well, okay, wants to go to heaven, be remembered as a good son and brother, and be faithful to his wife, God give him the wife. Great. Good. Excellent. Anybody else under 21 that's willing to share your destination statement? Yeah, okay. Real loudly, please. Okay, super. Anybody over 21 willing to do that? I know it's harder for adults to participate. Okay. Okay, super. One other adult? Oh, you're sitting. Okay, here we go. Okay, good. Those are excellent. Thank you guys for sharing. That's wonderful. Now, if we took time to go right down the row, I bet most of yours would resemble these in some way. Most people probably wouldn't say, I want to spend eternity in hell. You would have something you want to be remembered about that's positive, probably something about relationship with God, the other people, and you want to be faithful to your family, those things. So it seems that the destination isn't the problem, right? That we all pretty much want to go and be remembered well. I don't know many people that say, boy, I hope when somebody stands up at my funeral, they have nothing to say. You know, I think we all want to be remembered well. So then the second is having a reliable GPS. And I'm just going to suggest three systems here. First is a postmodern system. That's the system that says maps are overrated and no one should tell you what road to take because all roads lead to the same place, if there is a place, right? Now, what is that? See, Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seems right to man, but in the end it leads to death. So that's probably not a real good GPS, right? Okay, feelings-guided system. This is one that's used a lot. I just go wherever my heart leads me. I just do what feels good. What's the problem with letting our heart be our GPS? What is it? It changes. It's sinful. It is deceitful. Yes, Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? Do your feelings ever change? Yeah. Get married to somebody for a while. You know, it just, we just, whoa, you know. I mean, we all change, don't we? Do kids change? You get up one day is great, the next day it's horrible. And if we make all of our decisions according to our feelings, what's going to happen? We're going to be all over the place, right? My dad was involved in founding Campus by the Sea, and in the early years, he told us the story that they're bringing across a boat that he had worked on all night the night before, and he was exhausted. So as they got it running, they were coming out of San Pedro Harbor, and he asked a student if he would take it across the channel. He said, Campus by the Sea, Gallagher's Cove, is due south. So just keep this compass on south, and that is true. You come straight south, you're here, straight north, you'll be riding in San Pedro Harbor. So my dad fell asleep, and he woke up an hour or so later, and it just didn't feel right, the way the waves were hitting. And so he went up, and the compass was nowhere near on south. And he asked the student, he says, what's wrong? He said, didn't I say keep it on south? He said, well, yeah, Mel, but he said, the boat was bouncing around, the compass was sort of jiggling around, but it was so much easier. There was a cloud that was exactly south, and so I've been following it. Well, what's the problem? That's right, the cloud moves. The student was from USC, but I don't know, you know. But, you know, it just happened to be. But the cloud is, what's a cloud like? The cloud is like our feelings, right? They move, so it's not a very reliable thing. If we're going to live our life however our feelings direct us, we're going to be in some trouble. And so the third one we want to suggest is God's protective system. That God's word is really our only totally reliable GPS that will never let us down. Proverbs 19:105 says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light for my path. God's word is what's going to guide us. In fact, Psalm 119:9-11 says, how can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your GPS. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your GPS. I have hidden your GPS in my heart that I might not sin against you. Right? We hide God's word in our heart and we follow it, and that is how God directs us. Now remember, we still want to get to that destination, right? So everything's going really great. Now, let me say here, at least in our Garmin, we call her Garmy, we have a choice. We can put in there, we want to go on the highways, freeways, or not. Now, there are some of us that are sort of highway sort of people. We just want to get there. Don't want to see anything, stop for anything. That's sort of how we drive, you know? We drive from Boston to Virginia's parents in Washington, D.C. And we make it in 7.5 to 8 hours. And we always stop once. And when we're out of gas, you can do whatever you need to do for the trip because that's the one stop. That's sort of that's how I drive. But there are other friends of ours that they say, oh, you should go on the back roads. It only takes 3 days to get to Washington. But you see so much. Is either a right or wrong? No, they both get to the same destination. Garmin will get you there. One will just take you a different route. And we're wired differently. That's okay. That's not what we're talking about. We want to talk about some of the things that make it difficult to follow the GPS or to stay on track. One is natural detours. These are things that we didn't plan. It may be a health issue, maybe a crisis in our family, maybe finances, maybe something just changed. And so we had our goal in life. We had what we had plugged in, and it's going to just not work out exactly like we thought. Have you ever been driving in that? You come to, there's a big construction project or something, and GPS says go through, but you figure probably shouldn't since there's a barricade there. And so you go around. Does it throw you off completely? No. What's GPS say? What's Garmin say? Recalculate, and you're back on your way. There are other times where we have what I would call temporary wrong turns. Any of you ever sinned? Any of you ever sinned in the last year? Last month? Today? You know, I mean, we sin. Now, when we sin, that's like taking a temporary wrong turn. And there are lots of things that can cause us to do that. You can be distracted. In fact, if you listen to music loud enough or have one of those eye things in your ears, you know, you can not even hear Garmin talking to you. And, right, and some of us do that. We don't hear God because we have so many distractions going. They're not things that are evil in themselves. They're just distractions. I often, I don't multitask very well, and so when Garmin says turn right, I turn right. But I often have, it's hard for me to look at the machine, listen to her, and drive. And often, the turn right is 500 feet ahead. But she said turn right. So I look for the first road and turn right. Then she says, recalculate, and I go around, and I come back, and I'm on my way again. So there are lots of things that may temporarily take us off. But where I want to focus most of our time tonight is what we do that are intentional opposite turns. Garmin says turn right, and we say, I'm going left. I really don't care what you say. So we're going to talk about a few of those sort of detours that take us off, and we're intentionally not listening to God's GPS. One is friends. This isn't pre-planned, so I don't know how it'll turn out. But I just like you adults who have been out of high school for at least 15 years. And raise your hand. Not yet. I haven't finished, but thank you very much for your excitement about being a participant. Thank you. So you've been out of high school for at least 15 years, and you have at least 3 of those friends from high school that you keep in contact with regularly. Raise your hand. Okay? Look around. This is our highest number of the summer, but not a very big number, right? Now, look at that. I want you to look at this, junior high and high school, because friends often are those that cause us to take a detour, right? Because we want to be cool. We don't want to seem out of place. We want to be popular. We want to be liked. And what I want you to see is there are times where by following your friends, by being involved in activities that they ask you to be, and you don't want to say no because it'll seem like you're uncool or you're a prude or whatever it is, you'll literally kill yourself with that. Or you'll jeopardize your future so that you will be well thought of by people who really don't give a rip about you. Because 10 years from now, 15 years, they won't even know who you are. You see that? That we're listening often to people that really, in the future, have no interest in us. Okay? The good thing is that's only true about teens. Because we as adults really don't care about our friends. I mean, we would never buy clothes so that we are wearing the same clothes that our friends would be. So we'd be thought well of. And we'd certainly never buy a house in a neighborhood so people would think well of us. Or we'd never enroll our child in a school because that's where everybody else who's really cool sends their kids, right? We'd never do that. No. That's a thing that we can do. And Garmy is saying, turn left, and our friends are going, go right, go right, go right. And we do it. We counsel couples, and often when we're counseling a couple, let's say the man has, the woman wants to leave the husband, and the woman will say, well, all my friends are saying to leave the jerk. You know what we always ask? Tell us about your friends. Who are your friends? And so often they're people that don't have a relationship with the Lord. So that's it. Friends can take us off. We need to ask the question, are our friends going to help us or not? 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Let me make a statement. Do we need somebody? Are we good? Bad company corrupts good character. Listen to this statement. Good friends don't ask you to do bad things. I hear people say, oh, yeah, my best friend, he is a really good friend, and we just, oh, I thought you said he was a good friend. See, a good friend would not intentionally. Do you understand that? So make sure you have good friends. Second thing is success. Maybe this is a little more for us as adults, but sometimes we're saying all the right things for destination, but then success comes in. And if we just compromise a little in business, or if we just work 90 hours a week, we could be successful. We could be the best in whatever it is. Bob Craney is a friend of ours who some of you know, Bob. And Bob told the story that he was speaking at a conference, and he had finished. He got on the plane, and he was exhausted. Just been a horrendous weekend. He sits down. And he's the only person in that row, and he is so excited he's going to be able to just sort of stretch out and relax. And then the door shuts to the airplane, and there's one man coming down. You've all been there. One person walking down, you're sure, and sure enough, stops in front, sits down. This guy, Bob said, had a suit on that was probably worth more than Bob's whole wardrobe. Had a alligator attaché case, alligator shoes. He sits down next to Bob. Bob has his Bible on his lap because he had just rushed onto the plane. The guy says, sir, you are sitting next to the most successful person you have ever sat next to. And I don't believe a thing in that book. Points to the Bible. He said, I have 1,000 employees all over the world. He says, I have companies in three countries. I have companies in three countries. I am worth millions. And he just goes on. He says, you have never sat next to somebody as successful as I am. Well, Bob's not very shy. And Bob turns back. He says, well, this is really a coincidence. Because you've never sat next to anybody as successful as I am. He says, you know, he says, I've been married to the same woman for 25 years. And I am so excited. I'm going home. I've been away for the weekend and looking forward to being together with Carol again. And I have two boys. They're in high school. They play football. I love going to their events. I consider them my best friends. I mean, whenever we're together, we're hanging out, and they're just great. And what do I do for a living? Well, not only do I help people in their day-to-day lives, but actually I am affecting how people will spend eternity. And so I guess you've never sat next to a more successful guy than me, huh? And he turned around ready for Mr. Alligator Shoes to come at him, and he sees alligator tears. And he says, you know, he said, 2 weeks ago, I walked into my house, and there was a note on the refrigerator that said, your daughters and I have left. You will never see us again. For the next 2 hours, they talked. And when they're standing to get their luggage in Ontario Airport, he said, you probably never stood next to more of a failure in your life, have you? You know, it's so easy. I bet 10 years before, 20 years before, you asked that man, what do you want most in life? He'd say, I want to be a good dad and husband and well thought of. But success took him off course. Another one is happiness. Happiness is one that our culture really breeds, that we all should be happy. What a lot of our parents want for us more than anything is happy. In fact, it's interesting, in our counseling office, probably the word we hear most regularly is happy, which sounds sort of odd, doesn't it? I mean, people come in because they aren't happy, but they use the word happy. And you know what they use it? Don't I deserve to be happy? We say, not really. You're married. Should have thought that about that earlier. You know, no, you can be happy and be married. But we have pursued happiness as our chief end, right? If I'm not happy in something, I get out of it. I change. We have a good friend who's been married for 25 years, 4 children, and he decided that his wife was annoying. She sort of nagged him a lot and was kind of controlling. And so he got involved with a woman, another woman. So then he comes and he says, when we talked to him about that, he says, but don't I deserve to be happy? So he can leave, right? Because we want him. He says, God wants me to be happy. You know, the problem is his wife says, I'll be happier if you stay. And his 4 kids say, Dad, don't leave. We want you to stay so we can be happy. And I realize some of you are from divorced families and that here, so hear my heart. We can't change history. We're talking about future. But their 9-year-old boy came home one day this last year and said, Mom, why is Dad ruining my life? And the mom said, what do you mean, son? He said, because all the other 9-year-old boys have parents who are divorced and their lives are ruined. They told me that. You know, happiness? You know, we know him. We know that 20 years ago, you asked him, what do you want for your life? He says, I want to be known as a follower of Jesus and a faithful husband, a good father. But happiness took him off track. Steve Farrar makes this great statement. There is nothing wrong with desiring happiness, but horrendous problems develop when we become disobedient to obtain it. Isn't that good? Nothing wrong with wanting happiness, but horrendous things happen when we become disobedient. Hormones, another one that can take us off track. Any of you have hormones still? I still have hormones, hard to believe, but we do. Even adults have hormones. And so this is true for people of all ages, but it is especially an issue for younger people today, where hormones can take us off track. We have all these things, how we want to live life, be remembered, but then somebody great comes. I love True Love Waits conferences, those sorts of things. You know, a 12-year-old signs a card, I will never be sexually involved. And they think at that point the opposite sex has cooties, you know. So, of course, sign the card until you meet somebody that says they love you. Hormones can take us off track really, really easily. Let me say something to you men. Be protectors of women. Father of 3 daughters, I feel pretty strong in this. We desperately need men that follow God and honor him and honor Scripture over their hormones. 80% of those people that sign True Love Waits cards are sexually involved before they get married. So signing a card doesn't do anything. But what it is a desire and a commitment to following God's word. Ladies, hear me clearly. When he says, I love you, he doesn't mean it. He says, I have a urge I want to satisfy. If he loves you and he is pushing you to be physically involved or have sex, you know he doesn't love you. You hear that? If he says, I love you, and he wants to be involved physically, especially sexual intercourse with you, he doesn't love you. Because love always wants what is best. And if somebody is willing to risk your health, your emotional well-being, because he wants to satisfy his urge, that is not love. You'll talk about this on Thursday, so I won't bore you about it. But let me just say real clearly, If a guy says, this is the way I show you I love you, that is a line. That's like me saying, I can show you I love you by eating a Whopper. A Whopper from Burger King. That's how I'll show you I love you. It's just an urge. Most guys will do anything. Don't let them do it. Guys, be strong guys. Proverbs 7:1-27, I'll just read a few verses. My son, keep my words and store up my commands within you. He was going down the street I noticed a young man, a youth who lacked judgment. He was going down the street near her corner, walking along the direction of her house. Then out came a woman to meet him, dressed like a prostitute with crafty intent. Come, let's drink deep of love till morning. Let us enjoy ourselves with love. My husband is not at home. He has gone on a long journey. With persuasive words, she led him astray. And women do take initiative today. She seduced him with her smooth talk. All at once, he followed her. And listen to this. He followed her like an ox going to the slaughter. Now, isn't that romantic? And that's what it is. That's what it is. And so don't let your hormones take you off track. There have been too many young men and young women who have lost all of their direction and their goals for life because they've let their hormones take over. Last one I want to mention is just a party scene, and this is for all ages, but especially those of you in junior high and high school. Party scene is so prevalent. It's so tempting in college and high school to be a partier, but it has such potential to take you off. And I want to talk just a little bit about alcohol on your campuses. And let me just say, I know the Bible doesn't say anything that you can't drink. I know the Bible doesn't say you can't have a wine with your meal. And so if you're upset with what I'm going to say, don't come talk to me, because it's just irrelevant. I don't want to talk to you about it. I'm not against having it. But I want to talk to you real straight about what alcohol does and how it derails you from God's plan. Every year, more people are killed on college campus, or every 2 years, more people are killed on college campuses through alcohol-related deaths than in 9/11. 95% of date rape is alcohol-related. It's illegal underage, if there's nothing else. I don't know of any good reason to drink. I don't know of any good reason. I don't know of any good reason for anybody, but I will say just very specifically for youth, I don't know of any good reason to drink. One of the reasons I hear is it makes you less inhibited. Now, I don't know about you, but I have a real hard time not sinning fully inhibited. Now, why would I intentionally become less inhibited? We deal with too many adults who get into sexually compromising situations, and they said, well, I just wasn't fully inhibited, or I had just a little too much to drink. Drinking is pretty much accepted in the Christian community. I understand that. But here's the deal. Often when I talk to people who drink, they say, but we only get drunk twice a year. I mean, it's, you know, we're just social drinkers, maybe twice a year. I mean, like at New Year's when we have the big party, that's it. And, you know, on my birthday, and I say, you know, I understand that. I only commit adultery twice a year. You know, I do it on my birthday, just sort of celebration. And then on New Year's, I commit adultery. Well, you seem shocked by that. But there's no difference, right? I mean, one, both are sins. But one, we say, it's just twice a year. Or just occasionally. So just want to encourage you not to go down that path. Well, I just want to show you a quick film clip, because I don't know if I've said it clearly enough, but one of my friends, Tim Hawkins, has a little video that's going to help us on this in case you haven't gotten the point.
When I'm out driving in my car, I like to be able to steer. So I don't drink beer. And when I try to communicate, I want for my words to be clear. So I drink beer, 'cause it doesn't make me feel well, and I need every brain cell I've been given. And I don't drink beer, I don't mean to be overcautious, but the bitter taste makes me nauseous. I don't drink beer. When I'm out walking round the town, I don't wanna fall down on my rear. So I don't drink beer. When I'm trying to ride a wave, I don't wanna crash into the pier. So I don't drink beer. I don't drink beer. I don't need to head for the mountains or wake up in the malt fountain on Sunday morning. And I don't drink beer. To know that Bud don't make me wiser. I don't drink beer. Oh, 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 oh. I don't drink beer.
So here's the deal. If we continually disregard God's GPS, we shouldn't be shocked if we don't end up in the destination we want to go, right? If you continually take wrong turns, you're going to wake up one day and you go, my goodness, where am I? And you're going to be a long ways from where you want to be. Now, a couple things, though. It's not all despair, because all of us have been in this place where we have intentionally taken wrong turns. Sometimes, though, we unplug the GPS. Do you ever do that? And I want to say two ways that I think we unplug it. Sometimes we unplug it because we feel the GPS has let us down. And I think one of the reasons a lot of us don't listen to God's word is we feel God's let us down. And so we get tired of that voice, so we just unplug. Our oldest daughter, Carrie, did this when she was a freshman in college. Her favorite cousin committed suicide, bipolar, and she took her life. And Carrie was away at school. We really didn't understand how much this affected her, and it was just devastating. So Carrie unplugged the GPS. Said, if this is who God is, and I'm not listening. And so she took a detour for a little bit and then realized by God's grace before too long that without God wasn't very helpful either. And she plugged it back in. Some of us get tired of hearing the voice, so we unplug it. You know, if you're driving and Garmy is continually saying, recalculate, 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 before long, you just pull it, right? I don't want to hear. And what that looks like is we stop going to church, we stop hanging around with God's people, we stop reading the word because it's annoying, and so we pull the plug. But it's never too late to plug it back in. You know, if you want to go to Florida and you find yourself in Kansas, you can plug it in, and it takes you to Florida. It's never too late, and that's one of the great truths of the gospel. 1 John 1:9 says, if we are faithful to if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When we plug it in, he'll get us there. So we may say, well, shoot, then just drive anywhere. When you get old, plug it in. Lisa had a friend who said that he had decided he was going to live his life however he wanted, just for the devil, until he was 50. Because at 50, you can't have fun anymore. So when he's 50 and life is basically over, he was going to come back to Jesus. Well, what's the problem with the way he's thinking? One, he could die at 49. The other is he's missing out on what God has for him, right? And I don't know what your views are, and this is not a theological debate that I am interested in having with any of you, but there are people who believe in eternal security and who say, well, I made a decision at 5, and I am part of God's family, so it really doesn't matter how I live the rest of my life. I don't know about you, but that's not the side I'd like to be on when I'm facing eternity. Oh, remember when I was 5? If we're living our lives for the devil, it's a statement that's where we want to spend our lives. Because I don't know why you'd want to go to heaven anyway. You don't like God. You don't like his people. You don't like his music. You don't like... And that's sort of what heaven is. It's hanging out with God, hanging out with his people, and singing his songs. So make sure that when we come back, we're coming back to God. It's never too late to come back, but often we miss out on a lot when we're on that detour. Last thing I want to say is from Proverbs 4, listen to this. Listen, my son, to the father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding. I give you sound learning, so do not forsake my teaching. When I was a boy in my father's house, still tender and only the only child of my mother, he taught me and said, lay hold of my words with all your heart and keep my commands and you will live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget my words or swerve off the path for them. My son, pay attention to what I say. Listen closely to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to a man's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is a wellspring of life. Put away perversity from your mouth. Keep corrupt talk from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. I'll just tell you, you will never, never regret continuing to follow God's GPS. It's a lot of enticement, a lot of things that seem like they'll be great to go off the path. But they take us off the path, and we miss a lot of beautiful stuff that God has for us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the knowledge that we can gain from your word. Thank you for your desire that we follow your word wholly. And I pray that you will help us to really believe that doing that is the absolutely best decision we can make. And Father, when we do stray, we thank you that you have made it possible for us to come back to you. In Christ's name.